So now we come to the third sila, and that is on how to help or how to work for the benefit of other beings. And here there are kind of three topics. The first one is stanza number 84. Therefore, understand this well and always labor for the benefit of beings. The compassionate one farsightedly permits to this end even what has been proscribed. So what it says is that therefore, you know, a bodhisattva needs to work on these two main things, refraining from doing the negative actions, and with compassion and holding the benefit of other beings, trying to accumulate more and more the positive deeds and doing more positive things. And by doing that, then we need to understand very well that we always, bodhisattva always tries, labors, makes efforts to work for the benefit of other beings. And if that is really, you know, if somebody is really thinking or working only for the benefit of others, and there is no other motivation or other self-interest or anything like that, and then the compassionate one, the Buddha, compassionate one means Buddha, farsightedly permits with his great insight or farsight, he permits to this end even what has been proscribed. What this means to say is that if one is doing whatever one is doing only for the benefit of others and with the great benefit of others, then even that person, that bodhisattva, is seemingly doing something negative, something wrong. That is even is encouraged or allowed by the Buddha. So therefore, if one is really, you know, doing something, it's really meant for the benefit of other beings and without any other kind of ulterior motivation or selfish motivation, then if somebody is doing something seemingly negative, is also positive. That's what it is saying. To this, the story of, you know, a bodhisattva, when the Buddha was a bodhisattva, then he was going in a ship, and he found that there was one man who was going to kill all the people in the ship and then take over the ship. So when the bodhisattva found that, he knew that if he did that, then not only that all these people will die, but also that the person will eventually go to hell because he's killed so many people and do so many negative things even after that. So out of compassion, not caring what will happen to him with his negative action of killing, he went and killed this person, and that actually accumulated him lots of positive deeds, although he also had to go through the karma, karmic consequences of kind of being killed or dying in not kind of natural, with natural causes for many lifetimes. Then in order to help beings, you really have to give. You have to, give material things as well as dharma and share and help. So this is from stanza number 85 until stanza number 90, I think. Eat only what is needful. Share with those who have embraced the discipline, with those who are defenseless or have fallen into evil states. Give everything except the three ropes of religion. So this is try to eat what is needful, not too much, not too less, and from what you have, and what is extra that you have, then share it with those people who are like practicing, like who are in retreat or who are doing discipline work, like making hermits and monks and things like that, and also with those who are defenseless, people who are in a very kind of negative means, like in a poor state, who cannot defend themselves or who cannot feed themselves, whether it's human beings or animals or things like that. You have to feed them or try to feed them, and falling into evil states. If I think it's not evil here, it's negative states. It's somebody who is in a very disparate situation. To them also, you try to share and give. You can give everything if you have the capacity, and if you have no regret, except the three ropes, Chogyusum. If you are a monk, then you need to keep your monk's dress. You cannot give everything because you cannot go naked. You have to decently kind of you have to be decently covered. Other than that, you can, if you wish, and if you have the capacity, then you should give, and you can give everything. 86. The body used to practice sacred teachings should not be harmed in meaningless pursuits. By acting thus, the wishes of all beings will swiftly and completely be attained. Now, when you say you have to, you can give everything, and you can give even your life. It's not to say that you have to give give away your life needlessly and wastefully. Your life is very precious. Your life is not only precious for yourself, your life is also precious for others, because the body, if you are practicing the sacred teachings, then it is like a wish-fulfilling jewel, and through your teachings, through your practice, you can probably benefit lots of beings, human beings as well as non-human beings. So therefore, without a big, big, big purpose, you should not allow your body to be harmed, should not be harmed in meaningless pursuits, either meaningless pursuits of your own interest or meaningless pursuits in order to, do what other people want. Not like that. By acting thus, the wishes of all beings will swiftly and completely be up. In this way, by protecting yourself, by doing things in a kind of a wise way and moderate way, by sharing, by giving, by doing positive things, by working for the keeping the interest of more people in your mind, then it will be a great benefit for yourself and great benefit for other beings. They should not give up their bodies whose compassionate thoughts are not yet pure, but let them be surrendered when both now and in the future lives great benefit is hereby gained. So you might hear that and in the stories of Buddha's past lives, that the Buddha gave his body, his life, to other beings in, you know, who needed them, like feeding it to a hungry tiger, and many others ways of, you know, giving away your body. But this is only for a very great bodhisattvas, you know, when you have you are beyond any pain and you are beyond any regret for that. Your compassion is extremely strong and your realization of wisdom is also extremely clear and strong. Before you have that much compassion and that much wisdom, you should not, if you are not that pure, you should not attempt to give your body or your life, even if it's for the sake of others, because that would be not very useful, and then you will regret, and you have you create more problem than really help. But then, if you are let them be surrounded when both new now and in the future lives, let them be surrounded when both now and in the future lives get surrendered. Great benefits is thereby gained. If you have, you know, if you know that, if you even give your life and you have, you know, a strong enough compassion and strong enough wisdom, and then you know that it will give great benefit to lots of people, now and in the long run, then yes, you can even surrender your life, but not before that. So this is important to understand. You should start to help people as much as you can, as much as you feel you are happy with, that you don't regret afterwards. You have no negative feeling about that. You are willing and happy and joyful doing that. That much you give, and when you become so compassionate and so wise, so much wisdom, that you have no pain and you have no regret, and you know that this is going to benefit so many beings in a very big way, then yes, you are, you can and you should even give away your life and body. 88. Do not teach the Dhamma to the disrespectful, to those who, though not sick, wrap clothes around their heads. So you should give, you know, you should give teachings, you should guide people, you should share your understanding to anybody and everybody, but not those, you know, if they don't want to receive Dhamma, if they don't have any respect, then you should not give them, because then you are imposing Dhamma on them, and they will not like it, they will not be benefited from there, so it's no use, so you should not do it. And in the same way, if you know this kind of those who do not seek wrap clothes around them, these are more cultural things, you know. I think in certain cultures, if you kind of your head is covered, then it shows that you have no respect. In certain cultures, if head is not covered, then it shows that you have no respect. So these things, I think, we cannot take it literally. And these are about the society to society, community to community, place to place, how, you know, kind of to show respect and things like that. So to those who are in Tibet or in certain part of India, so if you kind of cover your head It's not considered respectful. If you carry weapons or a staff or parasols, then you are not regarded as respectful, but this is not applied, I think, to everywhere. These things we have to see according to the culture and culture and place to place. So it's not very useful here. 89. To those upon the lower path, do not explain the vast and deep. Now this is also the way of teaching. So we have to teach what is useful, what is needed, what would be helpful to the people. Not what everything that you might be knowing or you have some understanding or you feel it's good for you. It's not about yourself, it's about the others. So therefore, if some people are not ready for the, you know, to understand or even to listen to the the philosophy of emptiness or selflessness and things like that, then you should not talk about that. If somebody is not interested or ready to listen teachings about Vajrayana or about, you know, things like that, tantras, then you should not teach about that. You should teach what is useful and what is needed by the people. No to woman unaccompanied by men. So if there is a danger that that if a monk is teaching a woman, a single woman without anybody around, then there might be chances that there will be kind of difficulties arising out of that, socially or otherwise, then one should not do that. And every Dhamma, high or low, expound with equal reverence. So therefore, you know, every Dhamma, high or low. Of course, there is nothing called high or low, but the Dhammas or the teachings that are supposed to be more deep or more profound, or they are more kind of general, all of them has to be taught and has to be treated and practiced with equal reverence. You know, the general teachings, the teachings that are more common and are not less important and not, you know, less effective. They need to be, they are actually sometimes much more useful and much more important, because without those teachings, without those practices, then there is no way to go higher or deeper and things like that. So we need to respect all the teachings of the Buddha, and not only all the teachings of the Buddha, but the teachings of every other schools and traditions as well. Then 90, those suited to the teachings of great scope should not be introduced to lesser paths. But at the same time, you know, as you should not teach more profound and more kind of more difficult teachings to those who are not interested in them, but interested in more or useful, more you know, more kind of suitable for the general teachings. In the same way, those people who you understand or know that they are more you know, capable of understanding and would be benefited by higher, more deeper, more kind of explanation of depth, in-depth teachings, then you should not also waste time in giving only, you know, general teachings, but also should explain and give them deeper and more kind of in-depth teachings. The rules of conduct you should not neglect, nor lead astray with the talk of sutras and mantras. You should not neglect the conduct, rules of the conduct, the Vinaya, you know, the 10 virtues, 10 non-virtuous things and things like that. You should be very clear and, you know, very very, very, very strongly, very diligently and very clearly, live yourself by this, rules of positive actions and refrain from negative actions and things like that. But then those people who are, able to understand much deeper teachings and more, understand the in depth or the really the insight of the profound understand teachings, then you should not just make them, like recite mantras and, just say recite. Oh, you should only recite sutras. You should not just. You should just, say mantras and that is enough for you. You should not say that. You should ask. You should give them explanations, clear understandings of the nature of the, phenomena, of the nature of the mind, of, profound teachings of the sutras and profound teachings of the Vajrayana and Mahamudra and, things like that. Well, this is not, any, maybe I shouldn't say this here because, but this is said here anyway. So things like that. So the main understanding here is that taking into consideration of the need of the people, you should give teachings as according to the need and what would be helpful to them, not as only what you know and what you understand and what you like or don't like. So therefore, it's mainly focused on how to help people is what you try to find out what would be more beneficial to them, and accordingly, whether it's you are teaching or whether you are helping them or whether you are doing through through material things or through other actions, that should be the main focus. So I'll stop here. Thank you.